Welcome. You're listening to a members-only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation, your trusted ministry partner for planned giving. And here's your host, Kurt Knoll, Director of Member Relations.
Hello, friends. Thanks for joining us for today's live training. So good to spend some time with you today. My name is Phil Leo. I am Church Communications Director at Barnabas Foundation, and I am not Kurt Knoll. Kurt Knoll is on the road. Hey, Kurt, hope you're able to join us. And I'm standing in for Kurt today. So good to be here. And so good to have Heather Day with us. She's going to be presenting. Welcome, Heather.
Thank you, Phil.
And our topic title is Marketing as Background Music. I'm so excited to get into this topic. Just want to encourage you to stick with us and interact with us throughout the conversation that Heather and I have. I think there's going to be some surprising conclusions you may have as you think about marketing for your organization. Just a couple of reminders as well. Please use the Q&A at the bottom of your screen. We'd love to be able to take your questions as we go. If we can't get to all of them during the course of the conversation, we will certainly get to them at the end of our time together. Mm-hmm. And also want to mention that this session is being recorded. If you want to share it with another staff member, or if you just want to review it later, it'll be posted in the Members Center within 48 hours of this event here today. So I just want to make sure that I mentioned that. So let's talk about marketing as background music. I'm so yes. intrigued, so fascinated by the possibility of it. So let's begin by just talking about the goal of planned giving marketing.
Yeah. So the goal of planned giving marketing, well, but first, before you can even talk about the goal of planned giving marketing, you really have to take a step back and ask yourself, what is the goal of your planned giving fundraising as a whole? And of course, the goal is completed planned gifts, right? That's easy. But you can't just say, I want more planned gifts. I want more completed planned gifts. And like magic, that happens. You can't just declare that. You have to focus on the day-to-day activities that are going to lead to more planned gifts. We as a staff and as leadership, we've been, the last few years, have been walking through Four Disciplines of Execution. It's a great, great book if you haven't read it. But in there, it has a really helpful concept that I think is great for understanding this. And this is this whole idea of lag measures versus lead measures and making sure that you're focused on the lag or on the focusing on the lead versus the lag. So the lag measure is like this giant rock that you can't just stare at the rock and make it move. By the time that the rock is moved, you've already done the behaviors that have made it move. So in the lead measures are those things that are predictive that it's most likely to move that rock and you can influence. So in the case of planned giving fundraising, the lag measure is actually completed gifts. If you want to go ahead and pull that one up, Kim, then. So completed planned gifts is the lag measure. That's what we're all trying to get to. But again, you can't just stare at that. So the lead measure I would suggest is planned giving conversations. The more we're talking about planned giving, the more we're asking directly about planned giving and having and interacting with those people, the more likely we are to get completed planned gifts. So then if that's the overall goal, what is my lag measure? What is my lead measure as a marketer? It really goes hand in hand, making sure that you're supporting that overall goal. So our lag measure in marketing is to have those leads for planned giving conversations. I want to set the fundraisers up that we're working with to have more of those fruitful conversations. So what are the things that I can do to generate more leads for those conversations? And that becomes our lead, a marketing impressions. The more that we're putting our messages out there, the more that we are talking about it, the more that we're like regularly introducing planned giving options, the more that we are drumming up leads and we are setting up those conversations to be fruitful.
Absolutely. I love the concept of lead and lag measures. We've been working at that here at Barnabas Foundation in our own context with our own work. I have experienced it with myself and my work with churches. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated by just the relationship of figuring out what happens right before. What are you doing right before you achieve those results that you want to achieve? I just love that. It's
good stuff.
It is good stuff. It takes a little bit of thought to figure out what those things are, but that's so cool. I love it. So today's title is Marketing is Background Music. Let's try to understand what that means and how it relates to lead and lag measures.
Yeah, so this is a concept actually that I stole from Jim. He talks about this in Plan Giving Bootcamp, and I loved this concept. So when I go out for a meal, let's say I'm going out for a meal with my husband or a group of friends, my end goal is not to get the best food or the best location or the entertainment. Of course I care about those things. But really the end goal, the whole reason why we're going out in the first place is to have conversation and to make a connection. That music may set the mood, it may set the ambiance, but it should never get in the way. In fact, I intentionally avoid those restaurants where it's too loud to hear. Well, Plan Giving Marketing is just like that. It is to set up to have a conversation. It's to inform, it's to inspire, it's to set the mood for deeper conversation. That's what Plan Giving Marketing is at its best.
Yeah, I think that's the right foot to get started on, is sort of like recognizing the role that the messaging is going to play in your communications plan.
Right.
How is it going to change one's approach then?
Yeah. So it absolutely changes your approach, because you start to realize that your marketing efforts are not the end all be all of your plan giving efforts. So the goal of your plan giving marketing is not to become an encyclopedia and explain every concept and answer every single question that they'll ever have. Your plan giving marketing is also not to close the deal. You're not going to put anything on that piece of paper that's going to turn somebody who's never heard about plan gifts, and all of a sudden they read the most glorious marketing material that they've ever seen and say, you know what? I'm going to make a plan gift. It may happen. I aim for that. But most likely that decision is going to be made in the context of a conversation. So if I'm thinking of that, I don't try to make my marketing materials the end all be all. I'm trying to make them as simple and driving them towards the action of raising their hand that I'm interested in having a conversation.
So how do you go creating a plan then? What sorts of considerations are taken into account?
Well, whenever it comes to building a marketing plan, I find it helpful to think in terms of the who, the what, and the how. So when we talked about who, that's your plan giving audience. And it starts with your plan giving audience is right at the center point of four characteristics. First of all, your plan giving target audience, they've exhibited generosity. We've talked about this before in other sessions. You're not twisting their arms. You're not trying to talk to somebody who's stingy and all of a sudden trying to make them give a planned gift. These are people who are generous. They are also passionate about your ministry. They have demonstrated that passion for your ministry because they've been regular supporters. They've been ongoing supporters throughout the years. And then you can just go ahead and leave that one up there, Kim. And then they also, you can look at, again, we talked about in the area of passion, the best way to identify a potential plan giving prospect is to look at not necessarily the amount they give, but the consistency of the giving. And then third, they have the ability to give, right? So some of that comes with age. The older they are, the more likely they have the ability to give. But you can also look at targeting people like those that own real estate, those that have given stock gifts, those that are farmers, again, seniors over a certain age are more likely to have that ability to give. One of the ways that you can look and identify those people that have the ability to give through stock or real estate is to pay attention to gifts that are coming in through your donor advised fund, because that's giving you a cue that they have the capacity and the sophistication to give in that way. But then finally, there's this whole idea of timing. So they're generous, they're passionate, they have the ability to give, and that the right time to give. So part of that has to do with age, which is why we focus our marketing efforts generally on those who are 65 and older. That's really our target. But also we know that a lot of planned gifts come as a result of a life-altering event. So it might be a death, it might be a chronic illness, it might be retirement or the birth of a grandchild, or they're getting ready to sell the business. So it's this elusive thing of timing that you never know when that's going to happen. And that's another reason why this concept of marketing as background music is so important, because unless you're calling them every single day, you don't know when that timing is going to happen. So that's why it's important to keep that music playing and recognize that just because somebody has not been ready in the past, just because they've said no, does not mean no, not ever. Right. It just means no, not now, but if you keep that music playing, they're more likely to have the conversation yeah. when they're ready.
Exactly. That's my favorite one. I like the timing one. And I like that little phrase, no, not now does not mean no, not ever.
Right.
So that's pretty critical.
Right.
Hey, just a reminder for folks, if you'd like to engage with us, please type your questions into the Q&A. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear from you in terms of what's on your mind and what you're thinking about. Let's think about what.
Yes. So we've talked about the who, the what. Then I, in this case, I think about the messaging. What are the things that we need to be telling them in our marketing materials? And we've talked some about this in the past, about some best practices. Let me just sum it up to say, keep it simple. Use familiar terms. Tell stories and stay hyper-focused on opening conversations. That's what it's all about. But you want to have the steady flow of information that's coming to them. So you're wanting to educate them about potential plan giving opportunities, but you're also at the same time, there has to be this ongoing flow of talking about vision and impact. What is the end goal of them giving? What are you hoping to accomplish? How can they make an impact for the kingdom by being part of this ministry? So that's the one.
And I know you talk about stories too, and using right. stories for that.
Right. We talk so often about stories that the most powerful way to market plan gifts is to answer the question, what do people like me do? People like me do things like this. So the more often you can use quotes and stories and imagery that shows this is what smart and generous people like you are doing, that's a really powerful way to Absolutely. Communicate the power of plan giving.
Okay. So we have the who.
Yes.
We have the what?
You're tracking with me.
What do we need? We need the how.
We need the how. So the how is the channel. So if you think of that, like that steady flow, I have water cans here because these are how you're going to be more intentional about getting that messaging to the right target audience. So you can do this this is your marketing channels, and you can look at every single thing you have. And I would encourage you, especially if you're just getting started, you can always create new communication channels, but it's a whole lot easier to start with what you already have and figure out how can I weave plan giving messaging into those communications that I already have going. So if I have direct mail going, how can I weave a sentence, even a checkbox into that to start mm-hmm. to introduce planned gifts? How can I put a receipt insert in with that? And I would also, if you're doing nothing else, your website should be talking about planned giving. Because this is, again, is the front porch. We're looking, we're house shopping right now. So I have a lot of like housing analogies. But if you're looking at a house, the very first thing that you're looking at is the curb appeal, and your curb appeal is your website. If your website is not featuring plan giving content, it's a glaring do not buy buy sign. Mm-hmm. So make sure that your website has basic info mm-hmm. and a simple way for people to indicate their interest and request more information. And good news, if you don't have any content on your website, or if you feel like I'm not sure that my website content is on target or that it matches up, we have content available in the member center that corresponds with all of our materials. It's simple. It's, again, not meant to explain every nuance of plan giving. It's just to start the conversation.
Okay, that's perfect. We were just going to ask about what resources are available in the member center.
I'm so glad you asked, Phil. So we have so many resources available. We have a wide variety of customizable materials, and many of you have heard me talk about this on a regular basis. But for those of you who don't know, our customizable materials, our graphic designers will do the customization for you at no cost. It's included in your membership. But we'll take our materials and we will add your logo, we'll add your branding, we'll add your contact information. We'll also, in certain places, we can weave in your missional language and photography. If you'd like to change out the photography, we're glad to do that as well. And that's, again, at no cost for those of our members who already have a design team on staff. We're also willing to hand over the files. It's just real easy. So we have customizable materials, we have articles, we have social media graphics, we have social media content, and all of this is available in the member center.
Absolutely.
And then, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I can talk about this for days. Kim, if you want to pull up, one of the ways that we deliver a lot of that content is through our plan giving marketing plan. So all of these materials are always available through our website, but on a quarterly basis, we release new materials and we tell you not only what we have available, but give you suggestions of how to make the best use of it. So we're currently in quarter two. Quarter two is talking about, has an emphasis on non-cash assets and life income gifts. So with that, we have receipt inserts, we have articles, we have newsletter ads, we have brochures, we have a client live training that will come up in May, and the promotional materials to talk about that. So that comes out on a quarterly basis. The next one for third quarter will come out in April.
Hey, we're going to take this question from Bill. Is there a mismatch of the typical social media user with the stage of life where there is an interest in planned giving?
That's a great question, Bill. Yes and no. So it's probably going to be several years before you see planned giving content for TikTok. We're not going to be there. But we know that Facebook, for example, one of the fastest growing over the past few years has been seniors. That's part of the reason why the younger generations jumped off there, because their grandmother was on there with them. So don't assume that because it's social media that it's not reaching your target audience. They are on there. I wouldn't put all your eggs in that basket. I wouldn't make that a major effort, but to the extent that you can easily use social media to drive traffic to your website, I think it's a helpful tool because they're on there.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for that question. So I think what we're going to do is start to land the plane here. If there are any questions, please get them in now. Heather was mentioning about the member center. If you are having any difficulty logging into the member center, if you'd like a guided tour of the member center, reach out to Linnell Dykstra. I can call her at 888-448-3040, extension 111, or you can email at members@barnabasfoundation.com. Linnell will be happy to give you a tour of the member center. I just want to mention too, as far as if you're going to be at CLA, the Outcomes Conference in April, if you're going to be heading down to Louisville, Kentucky, we'd love to connect with you on Wednesday night. There is a dinner that's the second day, right? Tuesday, correct. Wednesday, Thursday, correct. Wednesday night. Kurt and Jim and Heather are going to be presenting at workshops. Mm-hmm. You can find details. You can RSVP. In monthly update, and we'll also be posting links to social media for that. Do you have anything about that?
No, I really hope to see you there. Our dinner, well, it's been lunch in the past. Our dinner has gained quite the reputation. I've had people asking me for 2 months already, are you having that lunch again?
Uh-oh.
Dinner can only be better.
Uh-oh,
it's gonna be
folks.
Amazing. So please come, no cost.
Time to jump on. Hey, also, I just want to mention, you'll start seeing information about our member conference coming up September 13 through 15. That is going to be in Tinley Park, Illinois. There's the boot camp, of course, for those who need a refresher course or sort of a first-time experience of Barnabas Foundation resources. We'll have proven strategies for planned giving. And there's going to be a member appreciation dinner with artist Austin French. You will not want to miss that. And then workshops related to marketing and fundraising. Anything we should know about that? Any insider information?
Be there or be square. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You can register on Facebook and we'll send out an email tomorrow. So look out for information for that. And then lastly, next month's live training is going to be about the supporter survey and follow-up program. This is new. It's up and running.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. Kurt Knoll and Maya Graham are going to be joining us and sharing what it is, how it works, and how your ministry can benefit from it. I think that's it. Remember that we're going to post this within 48 hours. Please share it with staff members that haven't had a chance to see it, or as a refresher course for yourself. Feel free to watch it again. We'd love for you to be able to do that. Again, Heather, thanks so much for the time today. And thanks to all of you for spending this time with us as well. Take care. God bless. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. This has been a Members Only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation. Learn more about the variety of resources, tools, and training available to you by logging into the Member Center at www.barnabasfoundation.com.